Gospel. If you've got a Bible there, turn with me there. That would be good. So as Caroline said at the start, we're starting a new series this morning. We're calling it Encounters with Jesus, and we're basing it in Luke's Gospel, as we said, and as we've seen. And we're going to look at some of the people who have interactions with Jesus. Our purpose is to learn from both sides of the conversation, both how Jesus responds to the people that he meets, and also how they respond to him. And as we meet these people, we'll see that we've got much to learn about how we respond to Jesus, and also about how we might respond and interact with others in a Jesus-like way. So this morning we start with Simon Peter, who until verse 8 is just plain old Simon, a fisherman, who with his business partners, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, have had a frustrating night's fishing, as we've just heard. And it's at this point that they meet Jesus. The first three verses set the scene. So word about Jesus is beginning to spread. People are coming in their droves to hear what he's got to say and see what he can do. And at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is so crowded out that the best location for him to sit and teach, as we've heard, is from a boat. And that's where Simon enters the story. Jesus chooses his boat from a number of others, and Simon obliges. But don't be tempted to think that this is a random choice. This is not random. Jesus has purpose in choosing Simon's boat. And this becomes clearer and clearer as we read through Luke and as we read through Acts. Because Simon Peter becomes incredibly influential as the church begins. When I was a kid, I used to go to the north coast of Northern Ireland most weekends with one of my friends and his dad, and we used to go fishing. It's not an actual picture. There's no way the rod would be bending that much, any of the fish I ever caught. Anyway, that sort of fizzled out a little bit as we grew up. I stopped fishing regularly until I passed my driving test when I was living in Aberdeen. And somehow I managed to convince some of my friends it would be a good idea if we regularly headed up to Peterhead to fish off the breakwater in the harbour. It was a really convenient place to fish because it was about a quarter of a mile long, right out into the sea. So you had deep water on both sides, and you could drive onto it, so you could almost fish out of your car. It was really great. Anyway, we had some great trips there, but we also had some fairly soul-destroying trips as well. And there's one in particular that sticks in my mind because it was incredibly wet. It was incredibly cold. And there was a 30-mile-per-hour wind blowing in our faces the whole time. So the rain was basically sideways. It wasn't really weather for fishing, but we persisted anyway for several hours. And it wasn't just that we caught nothing. We didn't even get a bite. Not even a bite, not even something to give us a little bit of hope. And finally, when me and my friend were both chilled to the bone and thoroughly fed up, we went on our way via McDonald's for a not-so-happy meal. Poor old Simon and his business partners, as we've heard, had one of those horrible experiences the night before. They'd been out all night. They caught absolutely nothing. And of course, for me, it was fun. But for them, this was their livelihoods that was at stake. They just returned to shore. They were cleaning their nets. They're getting ready to get some rest before doing the same again. And along comes Jesus and asks for use of their boat. And once he's finished speaking, as we heard, he says to Simon, he goes, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." How can I put this into context, what this request was like? It's a bit like me with my holiday French telling my wife, Claire, who is a native French speaker, it's like me telling her, dear, you're pronouncing all your words wrong. Peter's an expert. He does this for a living. He's done things the right way. Fishing is something of a lottery at the best of times, but the best time to catch fish is at night, because that's when they come to the surface to feed. And it's hard work. You need to be fighting fit. You need to be well rested to fish well. So the best option, logically speaking, for Simon Peter and his business partners is to head home, to get some rest, to try and catch something later on when the chances are better. So Simon knows all this, but instead of that, he says, verse 5, but because you say so, I will let down my nets. And that's really interesting, isn't it? What is it about the fact that Jesus asks him to do it that makes him go against his better judgment and do what this rabbi carpenter says? He may have heard about some of the things that Jesus was able to do, but most likely it's because of what he has just heard Jesus saying. As he's been teaching from his boat, something's resonated. Something has made Simon intrigued. It's grown his respect enough to do what Jesus says. And what happens next? It's extraordinary, isn't it? Luke goes into a lot of detail here because that's what he wants us to understand. This is not just a great catch. This is not just the best catch that Simon Peter has ever seen. There's more going on here. Fishermen were meticulous when taking care of their nets. They cleaned them. They repaired any damage there might be caused by snagging on sharp rocks. Nets were built to withstand great catches so that they're breaking. And not just that they're breaking, that they require the help of another boat tells us this is not normal. And remember, all of this is happening at a time when the fishing should not be good. Luke is telling us something miraculous is going on. And that becomes even clearer when we see how Simon Peter reacts. But see, he doesn't react like you might expect if it were just the best catch of his life. One of the most extraordinary days fishing that I ever had was also in Peterhead. But this time the sun, believe it or not, was blazing in the sky. The sea was dead calm. It was the middle of summer. And that day an enormous shoal of mackerel came close to the breakwater. They were so close, in fact, that you could see them. You could see them underneath the surface. Now, if you've ever been fishing for mackerel, you know you fish with hooks with a feather tied round the end of them. And so we were fishing with traces that had six of these hooks on. And we fished for about 40 minutes. And every single cast, we reeled in six fish each. We must have caught over 100 fish in 40 minutes. And we only stopped because we didn't know what we would do if we caught any more. On the way home, we phoned around all of our friends. We gifted fresh mackerel fillets to everyone that we could think of and still had plenty left to eat very well that evening ourselves. Now, there was much laughter. There was much joy on the breakwater as we were catching these fish. But there's none of that, is there, when Peter sees the enormous amount of fish he and his partners have pulled in. Instead, he reacts like this, verse 8. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Simon Peter knows they didn't get lucky. He knows that Jesus is responsible for what happens. And what that means is that Simon knows Jesus has access to power that is not human, and it's fear that causes him to fall at Jesus' knees. But it's not primarily fear of Jesus' ability that scares him. It's what Jesus' abilities mean about Jesus. It's interesting, he uses the word Lord here. Now, I don't think that Peter has a full understanding yet of who Jesus is, but he is aware. He's aware enough that he's aware enough to understand that this is no ordinary man, that Jesus is not like him, or rather that he is not like Jesus. That's why he says, "Go away from me." He recognizes that he's not worthy to be in his presence. And it's not because Simon's a terrible human being. It's because Simon is a normal human being. But Jesus' response is compassionate. It's gracious. He could have said, "You're right. Simon, you're not worthy. I'll leave." But instead he says, verse 10, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." And the next verse, the disciples pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him. So Jesus first reassures Simon Peter. This reassurance is also an invitation. He doesn't need to be afraid. He doesn't need to move away from Jesus. Instead, he's invited to join a different sort of fishing expedition. Have you ever thought about how strange that is? The purpose of fishing for fish is to catch, to kill, to sell, or to eat. That's not what Jesus is saying here, obviously, about humans. It's the opposite, isn't it? People are swimming around out there like the living dead. And Jesus invites Simon to help catch them in the net of God's love by leading them to it so they can find not death, but life, and life in all of its fullness. So what are we to make of all of this this morning? Well, I think there are six things to think about. Firstly, Simon Peter's response to Jesus is correct. None of us are worthy to be in his presence because all of us fall short. All of us are sinful. And it's easy to put our trust, isn't it, in our own abilities, in our own morality. I'm a good person. I do good things. Therefore, I am good enough. But Simon is quite right. This doesn't make us good enough. This doesn't make us worthy to be in the presence of God. Humility is essential for relationship with Jesus. We must understand and continue to remember that in and of ourselves, we aren't worthy. But despite this, Jesus invites Simon to come and join his mission. And he invites us to do that as well. That's the beauty of the good news about Jesus, is that despite our unworthiness, we're invited anyway. Something that Jesus himself makes possible because he has put our sin, that thing that's separating us from God, to death by himself dying for us, and has conquered it forever by rising from the grave. And this same invitation that Jesus extends to Simon Peter, he extends to all of us here this morning, the opportunity to follow him, to have relationship with him, to have purpose in our lives. For some of us, we've not ever accepted that invitation. Perhaps we don't think that we're worthy, and because of that, we've never come to him. But the offer is still on the table for each of us this morning. We can accept it today by trusting that it's true, receiving what he offers, taking hold of it this morning. Thirdly, God sometimes prompts us in unusual ways too. Jesus, as we've said, makes an unusual, frankly, a humanly speaking, ridiculous request of Simon. And look, sometimes God does stuff like that with us as well. Sometimes he asks us to do things which are uncomfortable, embarrassing, even against our better judgment. Sometimes God just asks us to do things that we don't want to do. And Simon Peter's response teaches us that the right thing to do when we are prompted in this way is to obey. A few months ago, I was walking to church, and I was praying as I went, and as I was walking along, in front of me, this young woman walks out onto the street. And she's a bit in the distance, but as she walks out, I noticed that it looked like she didn't have any shoes on. I thought, that's odd. But immediately at that moment, a strange thought came into my mind, and it was this: give her your shoes. I thought, that's a bit weird. Firstly, I'm wearing man's shoes, and secondly, they're probably too big for her. But I thought, well, you know, this might still be God. So I thought, I'll try and catch up with her without being creepy. But the problem was she was zooming along. She was really motoring. And I thought, I don't want to chase her. Imagine how scary that would be. But along the road, I saw that she stopped to get cash out from a cash machine. I thought, here we go. Here's my opportunity. And I was maybe 6 or 7 meters away. And I was about to speak when I looked down and noticed she had shoes on all along. Now, I can't really be sure what was going on there. Was God trying to teach me something? Probably. Was it just my weird, weird mind? But I think the thing I want to use this to illustrate is that even though it seemed ridiculous to me, I was willing. I think that's what counts, isn't it? Are we willing to do unexpected things for God? Are we willing to embarrass ourselves or put ourselves in an awkward position? Are we prepared to do the things that we don't want to because he asks us to do it? Now, obviously, there are times you can be sure that God is not the voice that you're hearing. So, for instance, God doesn't ask us to do something sinful, contrary to his words. But the other times when it's not, it's just an unusual thing. Are we prepared to take a risk and obey his voice? Fourthly, Jesus meets people where they are at, and so should we. Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter, and he uses his livelihood as an illustration for what he's calling him to do. Jesus so grasps the gospel that he is able to put it into terms that Simon can readily relate to and understand without dumbing it down, without making it any less powerful. Now, the fancy word for that is contextualization. It's part of my job as a preacher and as a teacher to try and contextualize a text. And something that I need to continually improve upon. But that responsibility extends out to all of us as we teach our children about God, as we speak to our colleagues, our neighbors, our friends, our family members about God. Of course, the Holy Spirit is the one who works, who acts to draw people to Christ. But he works through us. And we should do our best to think, how can I best explain this in a way that others will relate to, identify with? To be able to explain something simply, we need to understand it deeply. Simply, do we really understand the gospel deeply this morning? Fifthly, the call to follow God and join his mission, they're simultaneous here. There's no come and follow me here, and yet that is what Simon does. The call is, come and fish for people. Jesus doesn't separate out the two. When we come to faith in Jesus, we join his mission. The question is not whether or not we are serving God's mission. The question is, how are we serving it? Are we advancing it? Or are we causing it to retreat? And finally, God's call is costly. Simon leaves his life to follow Jesus. And look, following Jesus is still costly today. There are things that God asks us to do that might mean we have to sacrifice things in our lives, habits that we really enjoy, even really good things. Sadly, sometimes it's a call to sacrifice relationships as well. I know some of you have experienced that. To follow Jesus and to serve his mission in the world is costly, and it's really tempting, isn't it, to hold on to things, to ignore the prompts of God in our life. But discipleship, it's costly. There may well be some of us here this morning, and we know that God is calling us to sacrifice, and as of yet, we've not responded to that call. Simon's example challenges us to do that this morning. And so will we take up the challenge? So as we finish, just a few questions to consider. Some questions to consider individually ourselves first. Do I need to repent of my trust in my own abilities and my own morality? Do I need to come and follow Jesus and join his mission for the first time? Do I need to repent of times I've ignored God's call to sacrifice or God's prompts to do something that I didn't want to do? And fourth, do I need to recommit myself this morning to listening to his voice and to obeying it? So those are things that we can consider individually in a moment. But also corporately, to discuss with others, maybe over lunch later, or in your thrive groups, or with your family. How might you be able to help each other to hear God and obey his voice? Maybe you can hold each other accountable about those things. Maybe you can pray that we would hear what God is calling us to do clearly. Maybe there's something else that you can think of that you can do to help each other do that. And secondly, how might you help each other to deepen your understanding of the gospel, that you might be able to share it simply and clearly in a way others can relate to and understand? So let me flick up the individual ones first, and I'll flick on in a moment. But let's consider these just for a few minutes, and then we'll pray and we'll move on from there. Oops.